one of the things that we have around Lakeland that in so many respects we didn't plan or work up a big program for is an area of what we call respite care once a month, because we feel like Jesus has a heart for the oppressed and those who struggle, and that includes the families of people with special needs kids, of which there, we joyously say there are many at Lakeland. So with this sort of unplannedness of the whole thing, it has turned into this really awesome event. And I know many of you volunteer and come to respite care once a month. And the thing is growing. And so Jamie Davis has come up, our children's ministry director, because she needs more volunteers. So why don't you tell us just a moment?
Thanks. Well, if you're not familiar with the program, once a month we host a night out for families who have children with special needs, such as autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, other multiple disabilities. And we provide one-on-one care for their kiddos and give mom and dad a couple of hours of rest once a month. And when we first started the program back in June of last year, we had 19 kids in the program. This month, on January 26th, which is our next event, I have 53 kids registered to attend. The need is so, The need is so great, and this program is just growing. And I know for me personally, just getting to know these families and these kids has been such a blessing to me, and I know for the rest of the respite care team. And they are becoming a part of my story, and I think we are becoming a part of their story, too. And I got this email from one of the families just before Christmas, and I've shared this with the respite care team, so some of you may have already heard this, but I want to share it with the rest of you. It says, thank you so much for all you are. The kids look so forward to each night. They start asking the very next weekend when it's time to go again. It is such a blessing to find people who truly love and accept my children as they are, and simply because they choose to, not because they are obligated or acting out of a job description or anything. The whole team is absolutely wonderful. Words seem so inadequate here. Just know that we love and appreciate you all very much. And I don't think there is, as a parent, a better way to love on me than to love on my kids. And so I want to invite you and encourage you to come be a part of this story that God is writing. We've got a volunteer orientation information meeting scheduled for January 16th. I don't know if that's up there. It's not. It's also in your program, I believe. 6 p.m. here at the church in the conference room. Just come and get more information about it. There are several different ways that you can be a part of this ministry and a part of making it happen. So I want to encourage you and invite you to do that.
Great. Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. My name is Dan Wilburn, and I'm the founding senior pastor, whatever it is, chief cook, bottle washer type person around here since about 1995. And thanks.
Hi,
Dan. Hi, Charlie. Come on up. Charlie's not actually supposed to be up here, but he just decided to come.
No.
Charlie Belt, good friend of mine.
Morning. Good morning.
Elder.
Good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. Good morning.
Thank you. We're going to do a little interview. So as I was telling a couple of people, this is kind of like sitting at Starbucks and listening to somebody else's conversation, I think, and so refrain from saying "get over it" or something like that. But this is my first chance back from sabbatical when I left in July, and have done several things. We took a pilgrimage to China with about 9 of us here, and I did a class out at my seminary at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And Lori and I took a 6-week trip all the way out to California with the kids. That was definitely the big experiment part, and because I got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and all those hours in the car, and which actually turned out awesome. And in general, a time for me to rethink who I am in ministry, a time to rethink my paradigm of church. What does spiritual formation look like? How is one formed spiritually in the Christian tradition? What are those traditions? Are we doing it right at Lakeland, you know, whatever that means, of course, is a huge question. And just in general, a chance for me to kind of catch my breath and put a little time in with family and explore some of the rhythms, spiritual rhythms that I've been working through for the past 2 or 3 years in my ministry.
Yeah, yeah, so. And I just chime in here as Dan kind of recapped that. It's kind of my first question, but you just launched right into kind of where you've been, what's been going on. As a friend of Dan's, and not as an elder or as a Lakelander, but as a friend of Dan's, I'd say that last comment was really important to me. That's what I would share as kind of a, I don't know, your friend.
Okay.
Is that Dan, for the last couple of years, has done a great job of being sensitive to the way God is moving in his heart, soul, and mind, shifting out an old version of Dan and getting rid of the workaholic, crazy, wild man leading a church plant and becoming human and slowing and being a friend to me and a husband to his wife and a father to his kids. And I applaud you for that. It's been challenging
thanks.
To be your friend, and I don't think many probably out there... What did I say?
You said it's been challenging to be my friend. So, and I understand. I'm a difficult...
That was maybe a Freudian slip. It's not what was intended.
What your wife told you to say or
it's
something.
Been challenging to me in thinking about my work as a husband, a father, a Lakelander. Yeah. Yeah, that I didn't know
down,
I was
Charlie.
Like the comic relief part
down,
of this
man.
Deal.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
you're,
good.
Yeah, you're
but
the,
no,
you're the plucky
in all relief. Honesty, I Dan is a different friend to me now than he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and it's great. And I applaud you for that.
Well, thanks.
And I need you, and I appreciate that. So
yeah.
That's my personal side of this part for you.
Everybody knows Charlie's like a coach, right? So this is kind of the part where everybody puts their hand in and goes, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I also got a little Dick Vermeil, Roy Williams thing where I start getting choked up real easy.
That's cool.
So I'm a softy. I'm sorry. You guys are like, this
it's
guy,
cool.
He gets up here every week and he starts crying. So anyway. All right, so what do you think you take from your time away, Dan? I mean, if there was like, what would you share with us about, you know, what was God doing in your heart, your soul? You said a lot in that kind of opening statement, but, you know, if you could kind of boil it down to a handful of things for you personally first, and then maybe for us as a church second.
Yeah, I'll try and do both, so it's just not a whole thing about, like, what about Dan kind of thing, which, you know, it feels a little weird even doing this anyway, but I think... there's none that's really a top priority. They all seem interesting to me. I think our world is spiritual. I think it always has been. I think in this day and age, since post 9/11, I think it is okay to be a spiritual person, whereas perhaps during the baby boomer generation and before, you were looked upon as stupid or superstitious or whatever, and that still, of course, is there. And now everyone realizes, like, everyone's spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean it's Christian spirituality or that when we say God, we all mean that with a capital G and a cross behind it. But people are spiritual beings. They're souls. And I think it's a beautiful opportunity right now to say, let us take everyone's story, their spiritual being, and weave that in to the overarching story of God that we see through Jesus. Therefore, various expressions of spirituality, I've become very, I don't know if the word, I don't even want to say tolerant because it sounds like I'm hedging something, but in a sense to say, I think we need to leverage people's spirituality and what spiritual journey they're on. Lakeland has always been a church for people who have questions, even cynical questions about Christianity and the Bible and Jesus and all things church and religious. And I'd like to be one of the first people to ask those questions too. But all that to say is I think in this day and age, I think a lot of spirituality is open. So,
you know, you said something the other day when we got together that has stuck with me the last 3 or 4 days on this kind of topic. And you know what? It goes back to my little stupid Freudian slip where I said it was challenging to be Dan's friend. Well, it is. You know, that's right. It is challenging to be your friend, and it ought to be challenging to be friends, right?
Uh-huh.
But we ought to sharpen each other.
Right.
So you laughed, but you know what? It was, it's actually right. But you know, what you said that stuck with me about this spiritual, all things spiritual, our lives, our journeys, are all, everything is spiritual.
Right.
Even
right.
though I often, and probably most of you often, compartmentalize and put spiritual here and work and family and money and yada, yada, yada. But you said something that the spiritual thing stuck with me, and that is that church, Christianity, faith, spirituality is not an add-on. It's not a
no.
It's not an add-on. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well,
for me,
yeah,
maybe?
I think one of the beautiful things I'm realizing, and through various authors over the last 3 years, really, theologians, and I've gotten so much more into the Desert Fathers from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th century, 9th century writings and so forth, and as a way of saying what's going on, what went on back in a pre-modern time, in a day and age of mysticism and the first traditions of Christianity, we begin to realize that what goes on in American culture is that we separate our normal living into this material realm, and then there's a spiritual realm that we can't see, and it's not really here, and maybe you get a little dose of it on a Sunday morning. But what we really begin to realize when you begin to explore is that when you stand at Rocky Mountain National Park outside of Estes Park and you look at the mountains and the storm clouds brewing up off the face of them, or like I got to in October, or stand in the early crisp air looking over the Grand Canyon and look at that pastel palette that goes for 26 miles across, and something wells up inside of you is a form of, oh, pagan prayer. I think everyone feels it. You don't have to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or anything like that. There's something inside of you that says, I am a part of some other palette of some creator, an artist. I think something in there happens. That's just a glimpse that I think people who have watched their child being born, and every dad I've ever heard say, I was there, and they start getting all crying, they say, it was a miracle. You know, like, how's that happen? And we begin to say, isn't all the world that way? You know, and when we try and teach our kids, when we sit down at dinner to say, now you need to be grateful for your food, you know, so they don't end up like Bart Simpson, who says, what are we thanking him for? We bought the food. You know, I mean, you don't want to end up with kids like that. You want to have kids who say, I belong to my maker. I belong to God. And the best expression that I see of that is through Jesus, and I want to be like him. In other words, that our eyes would open up. And the passage that I've been living with for a couple of years is one, and without getting into a lot of historicity about it, but is a passage from a prophet, Elijah, out of 2 Kings chapter 6. And they were surrounded by the enemy, by an enemy army. It was in the middle of the night, and Elijah and his servant are the only ones there. And the servant says to the prophet Elijah, says, we are surrounded. We have no hope, you know. And Elijah prays to God and says, may my servant's eyes be opened to see the reality that Elijah sees himself. His eyes are open, the servant's eyes are open, and around them in the dark are these chariots of fire. That's where this phrase comes from the movie, you know. They swiped it from the Bible. The chariots of fire and the armies of God ablaze, thousands of them, you know. And you're like, oh, that's a nice Bible story. But the sense is, what the Bible is trying to tell us is that there is another reality that is with us all the time, that God is present. His Spirit is here. We don't have to ask God to come. God is already here. He is in your life. He's with you when you wake up. He's with you in your car. He is with you when you stand in line at Walmart. Everywhere you go, the presence of God is there. We are not struggling to try and cajole the far-off deity that's hiding behind the next solar system to come and do us a little favor. Instead, God is saying, I am running fast. I am present. I am the creator, the maker, the warrior of the universe. I enjoy everything. He's not a curmudgeoning old man sitting on some throne throwing lightning bolts at people who, you know, have bad sex lives or something. You know what I mean? He is this dynamic force, you know? And ours is just simply a task to catch up with God and laugh and run and fight with him.
Yeah.
You know? So this spiritual eyesight, I think, is what I want to do. My job is to get all of you to be in connection with God, to see this other reality. It's not a myth. you could call it that, and you may actually think that, say, no, you're wrong, it is a myth. So, okay, let's talk. But it's not just superstition. It's not that we're just fooling ourselves into something. It really is a reality. And all I'm saying is you connect the Grand Canyon thought, and why do we separate these things? Why do you say, well, okay, that's cool, well, I can stand at the Rocky Mountains and see maybe there's an artist and this is his art. Well, why stop there? Where are we drawing all these lines, you know?
So, you know, you say that's your job. How does that play out? Maybe like Garrett last week did a nice job of kind of casting his vision for 08,
right,
what he's going to be doing, the teaching series that you both are doing.
Right.
So apply that to maybe the near future in the next 12 months for you. What's that mean for the difference in your work, your vision, your job around Lakeland?
Well, I think there are some ancient traditions that we need to explore. Traditions of prayer and the daily office, so to speak, liturgical prayers. I was so excited to come back and see that Garrett and Chris and these guys had started in with some liturgical responsive readings and prayers. I think there's something corporate there that we need to understand, a gatheredness to that. That's a beautiful thing. The Advent season was a neat thing to do, that family thing, for those of you who participated in that and bring that in. I would like to do retreats. As you know, I do every month I do 3 days of solitude, which has really been the transforming place for me. As the Desert Father said, solitude is the furnace of transformation. And I think that's where a lot of my heart has been going towards. And in that, I realized that we are way too busy and we are way too driven by the needs of significance and consuming things. And we define ourselves by our material assets. And there is another way of being human. Yeah? So I'd like to take people on retreats and explore some of this prayer, the traditions of prayer, and in contemplation. And I think it is really foreign to all of us, you know? I mean, years ago, I finally bought a new car, I think when I was in my mid-20s, a Chevy Nova. And I love that Chevy Nova. But one of the things Chevy Nova. But one of the things I did was I intentionally did not put a tape player in it. That wasn't an 8-track. It was definitely a
cassette. Not going to say anything.
But I know. But and I just got the standard issue radio in it, and I didn't turn it on. And actually, kind of. And I love music. And the quiet in that little sanctuary of the car, you know, became a habit for me, and I realized that there are so many voices going on inside of my head, good and bad, all sorts of strange things. And it was good to turn off the radio in the car. It was good to turn off the television in the house as opposed to just having it as background noise. These are little things we can do and experiment. I mean, really, treat yourself as an experiment in God's world and say, what happens if I get quiet?
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I had one of those moments where I had the opportunity to be alone on a Saturday afternoon. Crystal, my wife, took the kids to Legacy, free swimming day at Legacy, so she went. We'd had a morning of basketball games. Stop. Just, okay, great. I'm going to eat lunch. I'm going to watch the University of Kansas Fighting Jayhawks play basketball. Yeah.
Amen.
And I recorded it and on my, you know, fancy DVR thing.
Yeah. That's right.
And the DVR hard drive fried. So
I
was fired up. I was like, it produced this anger and tension, and I was scrambling to figure out what was wrong. And I, you know, it was just one of these moments where, like you're talking about, you know, it's like the busyness, the idolatry of sports, just all that junk's like in my face. And so sure enough, TV doesn't work. By myself.
Right.
It was real clear. I just go, okay, dang it. I just need to get the Bible out. I haven't read much of the Bible this week. So I'll sit on the deck on a 50-degree day in the sun and be by myself. And
did
that's
that
what
work?
Happened. It was great.
It
was a great moment. And it was not long. But it's just
a calming.
I'm just so much, like you said, the voices, the junk that we do, the busyness, the work, the school, the kids,
right,
the bills, the whatever, and
right,
you know, it just crashes in, and I allow it. It's not the I'm not playing the victim. I mean, I don't think any of us are victims. We choose what we do with
sure,
our time.
That's right.
I just more often than not don't choose God,
yeah,
and He becomes one of those compartments or one of those aspects of life
that's
rather
right
than the author of life.
Yes. There are dominant voices in our culture that tell you if you want to be significant, then be busy. And as I've said many times around here, you will step outside into the lobby, and if you know a couple of people, you'll say, hey, how's it going? The conversation will immediately turn to, oh, man, I'm busy. I'm real busy. Ran the kids over here, ran over there, went and looked at this, saw this movie. You know, and we all kind of put on these badges that says, I'm busy, which says, I am somebody, you know. Yeah. And that's just strange to the soul.
And I think that's your voice, role, job, your gift is to challenge that and swim upstream for the rest of us and encourage us, push us, call us to follow.
To sample those. So I call it sample the habit, where I'll introduce to you some habits. Your job is to say, hey, I don't know, let's just see what happens, and come and sample these things, such as contemplation and solitude, and whether it's morning prayers and some things like that. One of the things we were talking about this week is actually doing three times a day the daily office around here during the month of February.
Well, wait a minute, time out. Daily office.
Daily office is set prayers that you do in the morning, noontime, evening, and then what they call compline at night before you go to bed. So if you're in a monastery, they would do this, you know, and they ring a bell and everybody comes. Hmm. And you're like, that sounds totally unattractive to me. But but for some of us, you begin to say, like, you know what? I was there at one time. I was busy and productive, and now I'm beginning to think, like, I think all my busyness and productivity didn't accomplish anything inside of me. I look good on paper, but I'm not sure I became a human. I think I actually dehumanized and became only what I do and forgot who I belong to, which is God, my creator, you know, my maker. And that, I think, is what Jesus was telling us when he came. He was saying, let's disrupt life. Come away with me. Come follow me. My rhythm of life is completely different than what you've been taught, you know? Yeah. So those kind of voices are in there. Some of the other stuff, I've gotten into art again. I was into art when I was actually 18, 19, and into college, and life just squeezes art out. I love sports. I'm just not a great athlete, you know? I know it's hard to tell, but, I really do... Yeah, I made a wrong basket in seventh grade for the other team. So
that's a great story.
Played basketball during junior high, and in the first cut as a sophomore, I was cut. I hate to admit it, but I, at that point, I thought I'm probably not going to get a scholarship. But I love art, and I love. I have spent the last 3 years trying to get back in touch with some of my creativity, and you know, art's just like sports, and I'm also not an artist. I don't have the talent, but I began to get involved with some things. I read about a devotional book that just came out by a woman, and it's called Praying in Color, and she is saying you can sit here right now and pray and sense the voice and the Spirit of God while doodling, and maybe many of you are doodling right now, or wish you were, and but I actually carry around, and as I went and visited other churches, I have this fancy little watercolor book, and I have just spent times actually trying to interpret what is going on in the service by doodling in a lot of ways. And then sometimes I'd go home and do watercolors and stuff. So this is my attempt at, finding another voice again, you know. And everybody's like, that's really strange and weird. And you know what I picture? I think it'd be really cool if, I'd love to see this happen, okay, just to hang it out there. Like people would come in here with their easels or their drawing pads or whatever it is, for those of you who are artists, and you would actually sit maybe in the back of the room and you would draw. And I'm like, I don't know if this gets around us to having like pottery wheels in here or something like that, you know, or interpretive dance. But at the same time, you know, like there are ways of actually trying to listen to God. Because I don't want this to be a spectator event. I want this to be a moment where God crashes into your life here for an hour or so. And you come out a different person saying, I heard something. I wrestled a little bit with the God of the universe. Not just that I got some nice tips to fix up my life a little bit and it all goes on the way it was, you know?
Yeah.
But that we become different kinds of people. And I'm just saying, let's find some permission. I feel really embarrassed and stupid going to these other churches and I'm drawing, you know? And I know people are like, man, he must be bored. And I'm like, no. I am praying the entire time. That's just one of the things I'm kind of exploring and trying to figure out, you know, and find some different rhythms to things.
Yeah. Well, as we kind of close and finish off, I think in terms of the solitude retreats and the pilgrimages to China, the journey
yeah,
to China.
That's right. That's part of that.
You know, is there something else that is kind of in your short or long-term vision for Lakeland, for these folks, for me, for you, that we didn't get to?
There's a lot
yourself,
we didn't. You're yeah. right, Charlie. There's yeah. a lot we didn't get to, and I'm almost, you know, I'm kind of paralyzed by how much I'd love to talk about it. I'm going to be talking over the next few weeks over several things. We're going to move into this thing called EPIC, which is a moment where we redefine our spirituality in terms of our finances and our priorities in life, and I think that'll be a really healthy time as we all tend to struggle with consumer debt and so forth. But if I start something else, we'll just be here
another five minutes. All right, that's
but,
fine. I hear you.
I would just simply
five
say
minutes,
this.
Probably 10. Yeah.
I would just simply say this. I would invite you as a spiritual person, not even assuming that you're a Christian or, you know, religious or anything like that. I would invite you as a soul made by your maker to be very open to the presence of God in your life. Be very open to what God is doing with you. You are not this disconnected automaton, this animal, to use Aldous Huxley's words, going through life. You have a story that is connected to a larger story, and you belong to something different, to someone different, okay? And take the time to invest in this. This is the most important stuff you could be doing with your life. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's what I would have to
that's
say.
Cool. Well, can I pray real quick while
yes, sir.
Chris is getting ready to wrap us up? Join me. Let's pray. Oh, God, Lord of all creation, that is the author of all life, we just ask for slowness. I ask, God, I pray for all of us as a church, community, as friends, as your people, as humans, that you'd slow us down. And that we really would, like Dan said, have eyes to see you and your kingdom and your work and your spirit around us in everything and everywhere we go, God. That we would slow and see and have a heart and a mind and a soul that senses you and is shaped by you and follows you and honors you and bows before you, God. God, and I pray for Dan and his work as our spiritual leader, our guide, our prophet, our pastor, our friend. Pray that you would lead him on to lead us. Pray the same for Garrett, that you would lead him on to lead us, God. And may Lakeland be a place where the thirsty can drink of your cup. May Lakeland be a place of respite care for all of us. Those that are families in need of special needs kids, and those of us that are too busy and too successful and too worried and too consumed by the cares of this world. May Lakeland be a place of care and of your spirit and of your kingdom presence. Lead us on, God. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.